The following is a presentation of Mountaintop, a church of many nations in many locations. For more information, email us at info@ccmountaintop.org.
Amen. I want you to stand up with me for the reading of God's word. If you would turn to Genesis chapter 26, we're talking about the blessed life. Genesis chapter 26, 14 through 22, we're going to be reading together this morning. And it says this, speaking of Isaac, he had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away from there and he camped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek, because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also, and he named it Sitnah. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. Father, we thank you for the room that you've given us here this morning at Christ Chapel Mountaintop, God, to flourish in this land, God, to be used for your glory. We thank you for your word to encourage us this morning, God, as we continue to live out this blessed life in you. We ask, God, that you would speak to us clearly through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Can everyone say amen? Now, before you sit down, I want you to high-five someone and say, keep on digging. God is not done with you yet. Hallelujah. I love that song. Please be faithful. Please be faithful to me. God is not done with me. Patient with me. Patient with me. How many believe that God ordained opportunity still left for your life? Anybody believe that? That there's still things that God wants to do with you? Praise God. He's not done with you yet. There's works that he's already designed for you to walk in. And he wants to do something marvelous in your life to impact other lives. We call it the blessed life. It's a life which the supernatural favor of God is following you wherever you go. It's favor in your school, favor at your job, favor in your home, favor in your relationships, favor as you come to church, as you go out in the community. God has something special he wants to continue to do in your life. How many believe that? Come on, say, how many believe that? Amen. There are works and opportunities, God-given opportunities that he has for you. But how many know that means that we have to continue working and continue digging? Continue moving forward. Amen. Thank you, guys. Please be patient with me. Elders, amen. And that's the whole impetus of this whole sermon series, the blessed life. What it means to live the blessed life. And some of the things we've already said is that the blessed life is truly rooted in Jesus Christ. The blessed life is a life that flows through obedience to God. The blessed life is a life that is designed to give continually. The blessed life is a life that is always sowing to reap great things in the kingdom of God. But also in the blessed life, there are going to be times that there is resistance and trouble. Anybody say amen? Where there's going to be trials and tribulations that we go through. That's just part of life. Even though you go through trials and tribulations, doesn't mean you're not blessed. We are blessed in Christ Jesus. And so we know today that even as we come to God through Jesus Christ, he wants to impart to us a blessed life, and we need to learn how to walk in it. Now, has anyone ever traveled overseas? Anyone, lift up your hand. Now, if you traveled overseas, when you came back to America, how many of you were very thankful to get back? How many know we live in a blessed nation? We just have some blessings, and we just have some gifts that God has given us in this nation, some assets that are just beyond many in this whole world. One of the few assets that we have that sometimes we take for granted is just this little bottle of water. How many know water is necessary for life? Do you know that in the world today there are over 750 million people in the world who don't have access to this? Isn't that amazing, of clean water? And yet sometimes we take it for granted, don't we? We take it for granted that we can just turn on the faucet and have a water. Matter of fact, we take it for granted so much. For example, right under your seat, there's a bottle of water. Pull that out right now. Somebody say, thank you. Isn't that wonderful? Now you can open that and take a drink this morning. Go on, refresh yourself. Some of y'all don't need refreshing. I need refreshing. Do you know we were able to supply to you this water for about $20. And yet in our world today, so many people don't even have this vital resource. And in the time of Abraham and Isaac, water was a valuable commodity. As a matter of fact, villages and cities and towns were generally established around sources of water, whether they were creeks, whether they were lakes, whether they were rivers, whether they were people living by the sea. They recognized that water was essential for their life. They recognized that water was a blessing of God so that they could live. And then there were times, though, in an ancient person's life, that there were times sometimes that God would send a drought. And this is where we find Isaac. In the book of Genesis 26, chapter 26, we've been looking at the story of Isaac and what he did in a time of drought. Isaac was blessed by God, not necessarily because he was a great person, but because his father Abraham had established a covenant with God. And God said, I will bless you, I will bless your family, and I will bless the nations that come from you, and you will be a blessing. So Abraham has now died, and now we have Isaac, and Isaac has basically, he has gotten the inheritance from his father. He has herds, and he has animals, he has servants, he has this large family, but he is experiencing a time in which the Bible says there was drought in the land. And so when there was drought in the land, Isaac was prepared to go to a place called Egypt because he knew that he could flourish there, but God said, no, I don't want you to go to Egypt. I want you to go to this new place that I'm taking you called Gerar. Anybody happy that God takes us to new places? He doesn't just leave us in dry places. He wants to take us to new places. So he takes him to this place called Gerar, and he's under kind of the authority of a man named Abimelech. And the Bible says in Genesis 26:12 that Isaac sowed in that land, and in the same year reaped 100-fold, and God blessed him. He blessed him with more herds, more cattle, more sheep, more servants, more people. He was receiving the blessing of God. He was a rich man because he was obedient to the word of God. But in the midst of being blessed, something happened. In the midst of being blessed, the Bible says that the Philistines, where he lived, became envious of him. Has anybody ever been envious of you because you were so blessed? You were being doing so well that people just became jealous. How many know that's kind of human nature? Sometimes people don't want us to succeed more than they do, right? That's exactly what happened to Isaac. He was at a place of great riches and success, and he became a threat to the people. And so the king, Abimelech, he comes to Isaac. He says, homeboy, it's time for you to go. You become too powerful for us. You have too much wealth and you have too much riches. And by the way, there's a lesson in that. How many know that wealth and riches don't always help you escape from trouble? And so they tell him, you have got to go. Now, that makes me think of our life sometimes. Because in our life sometimes, things can be going so well. And I don't know about you, I love it when things go well. Anybody like that? When things are just flowing so easy and, boy, and I mean, the church is going well and my marriage is just fruitful and, I mean, all that kind of stuff. I love it. But there are times and seasons in our lives when things have gone well that sometimes, all of a sudden, trouble begins to abound. There are trials and there are circumstances. But aren't we called to live a blessed life, Pastor Rob? Yeah, but a blessed life does not mean a trouble-free life. Amen. A blessed life doesn't mean there won't be times of friction and of faction. Blessed life doesn't mean that it's going to be a time of ease. So we need to understand that even though we are blessed, there are going to be situations and circumstances that God will use in our lives to continue to move us through this path of blessing. So that brings us right here to this scripture. And there's three things that I want to show you about that blessed life. That blessed life that maybe you weren't aware of. The first thing is this. That blessed life is sometimes confronted by resistance. Confronted by resistance. Verse 14 through 16, it says, he had so many flocks and herds, servants, that Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. Once again, his riches were not a cushion for trouble, because now he is faced with this seemingly tragic situation, where not only does he no longer have wells that provided water for his family, he no longer has favor from Abimelech. No wells, no favor, no sense that he has anything to continue to bless his family. His livestock is at risk. His family is at risk. Without water, it would be impossible for Isaac to live. He's in the midst of resistance. No wells, nor no well wishers. It looks like his opportunities have dried up. I've asked myself, God, why would you bring resistance in our life? Times that seem to be dry when things were going so well. The first thing I thought of is often God will bring resistance to humble us, to keep us humble. In other words, he doesn't want us to worship the resource, but to worship the resourcer. He doesn't want us to worship the stuff, the opportunity. He wants us to worship him. Anybody remember the guy named Job? He had it all, didn't he? He had it all. And Job had family, and is an interesting dialogue that happens in the first chapter of Job. The devil comes to the Lord, and God says to the devil, he says, have you considered my servant Job? Now, if I'm Job, I'm thinking, Lord, why you want to call me out like that? Why you want to bring attention to me? And so God brings attention to the devil of Job, and he allows the devil to take away all his stuff, and he just leaves Job with his life. And Job says it this way. He says to the Lord, he says, your hands shaped me and made me. Will you now turn and destroy me? In other words, God, why have you worn me out? Why have you taken my stuff? Now, we know the end of the story. At the end of the story, God gives him not just his stuff back, but he multiplies his stuff. But in the midst of the story, what does God do? But he draws Job closer to him. See, sometimes God will allow you to lose your stuff or lose opportunity just because he wants to draw you closer to him. He wants to humble you to depend on him. He gives you resistance. But he also will give us resistance sometimes just to grow us in his image. Paul said it this way. He says, we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. That's Romans 5, 3 through 4. In other words, God is more interested in our character than he is in our comfort. He's more interested in us becoming Christ-like than he's interested in us having ease. And, you know, I was thinking about this. You know, some of us, when we came to Christ, we were like a coin that was being made. When coins are being made, they are just blank little circles. And what God does when we come to God in Christ, he takes that little blank circle, that little blank life of yours, that little blank life of mine, and he imprints his symbol, he imprints his image on us. So when we come to God, we have the image of Christ. But how many know a coin is not made to stay in the mill? It's not made to stay in the bank. It's made to be distributed in this dirty world, right? It's made to be used. It's made to go out there and to be useful. And as it goes out to this rough, rugged world, how many know sometimes coins are lost? They're stepped on. They're beat up. They get dirty. That's just like us. We're out in this world. And God allows the world to bring us trials and temptations and tribulations because he is perfecting us. He is showing our real value. But not only that, sometimes God lets us go through resistance because he just wants to reposition us. He just wants to get us in a different place. Amen. He just wants to do something new in you and to do something new in me. So he will bring about trouble to get us thinking about making a change. About changing our circumstances, maybe changing a relationship, maybe changing a job or changing a school, maybe doing something that we would normally not do because our nature is just to kind of sit back and relax. But God wants to continue to use you in a great and mighty way. Amen? I love that. I think about Mountaintop. When we first started Mountaintop, we were meeting in a small chapel. And we started getting resistance. It wasn't from people. It was just that the walls were closing in because we were outgrowing the place. Amen? And then he moved us to another place. It was George Mason University. And there we began to grow. And, you know, some of our needs were expanding. And we started getting resistance from the administration. So we moved to Stonewall Jackson High School. And we did well there. But how many know that wasn't a permanent place? We were limited by what we could do. And one day, God opened up an opportunity where we can have office space and be right here in this place. He repositioned us through resistance and through some pain. How many know he wants to do that in your life too? And sometimes he'll use resistance. And sometimes we have, listen, put your hand out like this. And tell your neighbor, you just have to hold things loosely. Amen? Kenny Rogers said, you got to know when to fold them. You know where to fold them. Know when to walk away. Y'all know our new country, did you? Know where to run. You better count your money. As you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the deal is done. In other words, you got to know when to go and reposition yourself. So, yeah, he uses resistance. He uses trial. He uses trouble. That's exactly what he did to Isaac. Abimelech said, Isaac, move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. Tell that person next to you, you got to know when it's time to go. Now, I'm not telling y'all to leave Mountaintop. The next thing about blessed life is this. Often, the blessed life will drag us into new opportunities. I love that. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar. Now, Gerar, another definition for Gerar, literally means a place dragged from or to drag to. In other words, Isaac is getting ready to be dragged from one place to that valley. And oftentimes, we feel like we're being dragged from one place to another, don't we? Dragged from maybe one job to another. Dragged from one location to another, dragged from one relationship to another, dragged from one circumstance to another circumstance, dragged from one assignment to another. As a matter of fact, how many know we don't choose the what, the where, and the why of our assignment in God? The Bible says we are his workmanship, created for Christ Jesus for good works that he has designed for us. In other words, your days have been ordained. Your assignment has been already made. Your only responsibility is to discern what your assignment is and to faithfully follow God. Everybody recognize that, right? And that means sometimes he will make a change in your life. He will give you a new opportunity. He will give you a new instruction. The Bible says we make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps, Proverbs 16:9. And when I thought about that, being dragged, being drugged, and you see in the scripture that Isaac moved away from there. It said nothing about him moaning, about him groaning, about him whining, about him crying. It said nothing about that. He just, when he sensed it was time to move, he just moved. He went to a different place. And I thought about my dear wife. Lynn and I have been married going on almost 27 years. And so often, I'm sure, baby, I'm sorry. So often, I'm sure she was feeling that she was being dragged by her husband. I moved her from Silver Spring, Maryland to Valdosta, Georgia. Deep south. Little railroad tracks dividing black from white. Jesus is right. And I'm glad he was with us. Amen. And then I dragged her from Valdosta to Winchester, Virginia. And I thought the South was bad. I'm sorry if you're from Winchester. I love you, but dang. And then I dragged her from Winchester to Belcamp, Maryland, 10 miles from the home of Pastor Tim. Don't believe he's from Baltimore. He's from Edgewood. Then I dragged her from there to Woodbridge. And I dragged her from Woodbridge. I really dragged her from Woodbridge to Gainesville. Yeah, she's there. But you know why we could do that? You know why she didn't mind being dragged? Because she sensed there was an anointed assignment of God upon our lives. She was able to hold her life loosely. Listen, God takes us from opportunity to opportunity. He takes us from season to season. But Pastor Rob, I like it where I am. God's being good to me. I'm comfortable. Don't you see my ministry? Lives are being transformed through me, Pastor Rob. But guess what? It's not about you. It's about God's assignment in your life and what he wants to do. So yeah, the blessed life drags us to new opportunities. You can't choose your assignment. The only thing you can do is choose to keep digging. And when I say keep digging, I mean working towards those things and opportunities that God has presented to you with an eye open to discern the voice of God and what he wants to do in your life. That's what a blessed life is about. It means that I'm willing to move, oh God. It means I'm willing to change, oh God. It means, God, I'm willing to stop this job and believe you for that job, oh God. It means, oh Lord, I'm willing to get into the right relationship, oh God. It means, oh God, I'm willing to stop doing this one little hobby that I love to do and do something that is going to be a little bit more fruitful. It means I'm willing to change, oh Lord. It means I'm willing to walk in different opportunities. It understands that there is, how many know there's no perfect job? There's no perfect neighborhood. There's no perfect house. We don't waste our time looking for perfect. Perfect only comes when we get to God in heaven. Amen? In other words, we just avail ourselves to be used. That's exactly what Isaac is doing. He says he's moving from one place to another. And the Bible says this. Look at this. He says, and Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped after Abraham died. He gave them the same names his father had given them. In other words, it's saying this. When Isaac was told to leave, when Isaac was repositioned into a new opportunity, he just didn't stop and just hang his head down. No, he got to work. He got moving. He got digging. And it's interesting that he dug the same wells that his father had dug. He redug that well. And I thought about this. How many know that there are people in your past who have dug wells for you, who helped to get you to where you are? There are people that encouraged you, people who financed you, people who trained you, people who gave you an opportunity to be where you are, people who gave you a job, people who gave you a chance, amen? And we should never forget about those people, amen? We should honor and respect those kind of people. But guess what? That tells me that as we're digging wells, as we're looking for more opportunity, as we're making it, as we're following the will of God, how many know we're setting somebody else up? You could be setting somebody else up. God is putting you out there to be a blessing, to dig wells so that you can, so other people can be fruitful and multiply. That's exactly what Isaac is doing. He digs up those old wells. He gets to work. He doesn't use his energy fighting with Abimelech, fighting with servants. No, he goes to work for the Lord. Tell the person next to you, say, don't be a jerk. Go back to work. Stop all your crying and do something for God. Walk in that new opportunity. And see, you can do that. Listen, let me tell you. If you know that you are blessed by God, you can do that with resistance. You can do that if you have to make a change. And the reason you can do all that is that you know that God has your back and that you will ultimately find a place of rest. Somebody say amen. There is, listen, the Bible says that there is a rest for the people of God. Do you believe that? Hebrews 4:9 says there is a rest for the people of God. How many people are people of God here this morning? It's important. Listen, it's important. Because if you live your life recognizing that God is going to give you a place of rest, he's going to make a place wide. The Bible calls it, actually Isaac called the place where he landed Rehoboth, which means place of rest. God has made room for me. Listen, God's going to make room for you. God's going to make room for you. As we're walking in obedience to the Lord, there are new opportunities that he's going to give you and make room because he wants to manifest himself through you. And so Isaac begins digging. And look what happens. Now he digs up those old wells of his father Abraham, and I could see those wells flowing with water. I could see his family. And matter of fact, whenever you dug a well in an ancient time, that meant you were establishing a permanent place for you and your family. So he's in Gerar, in the valley of Gerar, and he's digging up these old wells that had been filled. He's digging them up, and he's beginning to get the water that is necessary for provision. But not only is he digging, he has his servants who are digging. Not only is he being blessed, he is, oh, thank you, oh, God, that's of you. Not only is he being blessed, he's teaching others how to get blessed. Who are you helping get blessed? Who are you, oh, thank you, Lord. How many know it's not about you, it's about you helping others be blessed. Helping others to learn how to dig and to walk in opportunity. Yeah, and so his servants are out there digging, and his servants are digging, and then they come across this one well, and the Bible says here, that Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well, fresh water there. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with Isaac and said, the water is ours. So he named it Esek, which means that they contended with him. And then his servants found another well, okay, and they quarreled over it. And he named that well Sitna, which means strife. In other words, on our way to rest in our life, we're going to often encounter contention. We're going to often encounter strife. And it's usually with people, right? See, we don't have a problem loving God. We just have a problem loving people, right? Especially people that come against us. But I thank God, you know what? And I thank God for age and wisdom that's coming with it, because I'm starting to recognize that sometimes the best people in my life are the people who are disagree with me. Amen. Because it's those people that show me different sides and different perspectives of life. And it reminds me that I don't know it all. Of course, I know you guys probably know it all, but I don't know it all. And it's those type of people that sometimes it feels like strife, it feels like contention, but often God will keep those type of people in your life just because he wants to show you different ways. That's of the Lord. Somebody, listen, there's somebody here right now. You don't like what you heard. You don't like what somebody told you. But maybe God is trying to speak to you through that person. And instead of getting all angry and upset with that person and say, I don't want you in my faith, maybe there's something you need to learn from that person. Because God is, guess what? Because God is taking you to a place of rest. And so then the servants go through this contention and strife. Then all of a sudden, Isaac finds this place as well. And he digs it up. Nobody is disputing him. And he calls it Rehoboth. God has made a wide place for me, he says. God has made a wide place for my family. That Rehoboth, that represents that opportunity that is just for you. In the business world, it can be the startup of a new business. I'm always getting calls about network marketing. I don't know why people would want me to be a part of a network marketing thing. I don't know what it is, but anyway, I get calls about that. But how many know the best time to get in network marketing business is when it first starts up? That Rehoboth, that new opportunity. In finance, it's the gap in the market where you invest. What is that Rehoboth for you? What does that place of rest look like for you? Maybe it's just getting to the point in your family, in your marriage and relationship where all of a sudden God administers his peace. One thing I know for sure, the Bible says that there is a rest for the people of God. But that rest doesn't often come unless you go through some stuff. Matter of fact, we wouldn't even recognize rest unless we went through conflict, amen? We wouldn't recognize rest unless we went through some trials and some testing. So we keep digging. Yeah, God, I don't know. I don't understand. As Craig comes, I don't understand why things are working out this way. I don't understand why I just lost my job. I don't understand why my best friend has turned his back on me. I don't understand why people no longer want to hang around me. I don't understand why my finances seem to be drying up. I don't understand. But God says there's a Rehoboth for you down the road. There's a place of rest. Don't give up. Don't give in. Linda said it this morning. He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Anybody believe that? He's not done with you yet. Yeah, somebody give God a praise. He's not done with you yet. Some of you are just getting started. Some of you are further down the road. But I do know this. I don't care if you're just getting started or further down the road. There's always the next for you. There's always the new opportunity for you. There's always a chance for you to be a blessing. So how do I dig? Well, I just want to give you a few things as we end here. How do I dig? Well, the D stands for this. The way we dig is, first of all, we determine to keep our faith alive and active. We don't always see the way. We don't always see what to do. But this is the confidence that we have. If we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he becomes that well that we can draw from. He becomes that well that we can pull our pail in and draw deep of the water of life to get instruction, to get correction. He becomes that well that encourages us when we get faint-hearted. He becomes that well that lifts us up out of the miry clay. Jesus becomes that well deep inside of us that helps us along the way. I remember when he told the woman at the well, she was going there day after day to get water. He said, if you would come to me, I would give you living water that would refresh your soul. I believe he was talking about the Word of God as it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so in our walk with God in this blessed life, digging means we are determined to keep our faith active and alive in Christ. In other words, we're determined to be in His Word and to seek God. We're determined to dig for deeper truths. We're determined to grow in our faith. But it also means this. To dig means also, I call it I-O. It means that we're committed to immediate obedience. When we hear something fresh from God as He's leading us into new opportunities, into new circumstances, the way we walk into new opportunities in that blessed life is that we have a heart to say, God, I'm going to immediately obey You when I hear Your voice. You know what? Just recently, a couple months ago, God put on my heart to give something away. To give something away. And it's something of great value to me. And when He said that, at first I questioned God, but then I immediately thought about my wife and some conversations we had. And when He said, I want you to give that thing that is valuable to you away, I said, yes, Lord, I'll do that. But I had to ask, I said, God, if You really want me to do that, You're going to have to show me who You want me to give it to. Now, don't y'all sign the list and try to get what I'm trying to give away, all right? But that's a heart that is committed to obedience. And then finally, to dig means this. You know, you want to continue to determine to keep your faith alive. You want to obey immediately, but you also want to do this. You want to recognize that your life is meant to be one of giving. Digging means giving, giving yourselves. When those guys dug those wells, it was hard work. They didn't have jackhammers like we did. They were digging through limestone. They didn't even have metal. It was hard work. They were giving themselves that project. Likewise, we give ourselves fully to the Lord. We give ourselves fully to one another. We give encouragement. We give enthusiasm. We give our talents. We give our treasures. We give our heart. We give all that we have as part of that blessed life we live to give. Let me ask you this morning, where is your Rehoboth today? Where are you working yourself towards? God has a place of rest just for you. Where does He want you to dig today? What new opportunities is He telling you to walk into? What things is He asking you to let go today that He can work through your hands? What attitude is He saying that you need to get rid of so you can get focused on My desire for your life? I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. There is a God in heaven who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, that not only might we have salvation, but we might experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. His name is Jesus, the Son of the living God. There may be somebody here this morning and you don't have God's eternal peace. You are confused. You don't know that you have salvation. You don't know if you're right with God. Matter of fact, you might sense that you're way away from God. And God has dug down here on this earth, and He has unearthed you, and He has gotten your attention right now. And He's calling you to Himself. And He says, the only thing that you have to do to make it right with Me, to find a place of rest, to find a place of peace, is this. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Christ died for your sin, and see, confess Him with your mouth and accept Him as your Lord by faith. If you're here right now this morning and you're that person, you don't have peace with God, God wants to establish this Rehoboth for you, this place of salvation. And it's just a prayer away. So if you're here and you say, Pastor Rob, that's me, would you pray? pray for me. I want to experience the peace of God. I want to know that I'm right with God. I want to have salvation. I want to receive Christ as my Savior. Would you lift your hand? Anyone like that this morning? Very quickly. Anyone like that? I see that hand lifted up. God bless you, young man. You can put that hand down. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? Don't miss this opportunity. I see that hand, young lady. You can put it down. God bless you for your courage and your boldness. Michael, if you would move over to that table to be able to see them. And anyone else this morning? You need the peace of God that can only come through Jesus Christ. Anyone? Hallelujah. Now, maybe you're here this today and you're at a place where you feel resistance. You don't feel like you can find your way. It's a hard place with circumstances seem that they're coming up against you. You're not sure how to move and you need the direction of God. You feel like that maybe there are people that are coming against you, situations that are coming against you, and maybe they've paralyzed you. You just need some prayer today. If that's you, lift up your hand. Anybody like that? Anybody like that all over this place? Come on, lift up your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm going to say a prayer for that. I see his hand lifted in the back there. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, we all stand this morning. We all stand. Just keep digging. Listen, just keep digging. Just keep digging. Look at somebody next to you and say, just keep digging. Tell them it's going to work out all right. Come on, tell them it's going to work out. It's going to work out. I'm going to open up these altars for just a moment here. If you're here this morning and you're just, listen, you say, God, I just need help as I move into the next step, and I move into the next opportunity. I just want your help, oh God. I need your direction. Why don't you come down here to this altar for just a second? Come on, just move down here right now. I believe that God is calling a lot of people to move on out. You've been stuck in a place. You've been leery of moving, leery of going because you didn't have all the answers. You didn't have all the solutions. But you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have all the solutions. All you have to have is faith and trust in God that he wants to do something new in your life. Come down this altar right now if that's you this morning. Don't miss this opportunity because God is here. God is here. God is here. God is here. Hallelujah. Thank you. God is here. Maybe you're here this morning and you are struggling. Maybe you're just struggling with something that's weighing you down. It's preventing you from moving. It could be a moving. It could be a besetting sin. It could be a fear. But God is here. God is here to meet you right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hand if you are at this altar? I just want you to say this with me. Say, God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for making me just as I am. Say, I am yours, O Lord. Do your will in my life. I surrender to you, O God. I love you, O Lord. I thank you for my gifts. I thank you for my abilities. I thank you for my talents. I thank you for my faults and my weaknesses because you use them all, oh God, for your glory. So I give myself away. Once again, oh God, I give myself to you. Use me, oh Lord. Build my faith and my confidence. I look forward to that opportunity that you have ordained for me. Not for me, but for your glory. And I thank you right now in advance for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Now give him the praise for it. Come on, give him the praise for it.